Hi, this is Steve from the HR Happy Hour. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network, the longest running and most downloaded collection of HR podcasts in the industry. Remember to subscribe to the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for HR Happy Hour. And for more information, go to www.h3hr.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Research on the Rocks. I am Molly Lombardi, and I'm here with my co-host, Madeline Lorano.
Hi, Molly.
Hey, Madeline, how are you?
I'm doing well. I am very happy to be home today and this week.
I know. We are so happy to be home and to be with our listeners again. It's been a little while. We've both been on the road quite a bit to lots of great events. So tell us a little bit about where you've been and what you've been up to, Madeline.
Yeah, let me see if I can try to remember. I have been all over. You have too. I was in Miami for the HCI conference, which is always such a great event. They do such a fantastic job with really high level practitioners, great content. So that was a lot of fun. I was in Wisconsin with Cielo. I was lots of California trips. Yeah. So, and then I'm home for 6 weeks before I go to Ireland. So excited.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Ireland in an upcoming episode, but that's going to be a great event as well. I, too, have been on the road, lots of West Coast, up and down the West Coast, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle. So it's been great. I had an opportunity to speak on a panel at Vizier with Josh Burson and China Gorman and Al Admonson looking at the future of analytics and what that means to today's organizations. They're doing some really great stuff. And also got to attend the Cornerstone event, where I got to do a panel on the future of AI with TriBridge and some of the folks from IBM Watson, which was really interesting, and talking about personal leadership and how sort of managers have to be responsible for bringing their personal energy and all of that to leadership today. So lots of great conversations with practitioners, and great to be here with another great conversation that we had the other day.
Absolutely. And yeah, I was jealous that I wasn't at Cornerstone. It seems like everyone was there, but you did a fantastic write-up on it. So anyone that is curious about everything that happened at that event, certainly check out Molly's blog.
Yeah, and you can catch up with all of our travels and travails on the blog. That's a good point, at aptituderesearchpartners.com. But it's great to be recording an episode and talk about the chance we had to sit down amongst all our travels and interview some of the folks from Wilson Towers Watson about some of the tools they're using to drive and measure engagement. So Madeline, why don't you tell us a little bit about them before we get into the interview?
Yeah, and this is a conversation I'm so excited about because we're so excited about engagement, Molly. We've been talking about this for years and years, over 10 years since we've known each other. And it's so exciting to see and talk to providers that are just as passionate about this as we are. And I think this is going to be a really exciting conversation. We are joined here with Chris Pines, who is the head of product for Human Capital Management. We're joined by Adam Zuckerman, who's the product leader for the engagement software, and Tara Wilson, who's the human capital and benefits marketing leader.
It's a great conversation, so let's jump in.
Chris, maybe you could share a little bit with us about sort of the evolution and how you came to be so much of a software company, not just a consulting firm.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for having us on this podcast. It's an honor and a pleasure. And yes, you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people know us as a consulting firm. Willis Towers Watson is the product of a merger between a company called Towers Watson and Willis. And Towers Watson was really well known for quite a while as a leading human capital consulting firm. That's where we have our roots. But going back now at least 5 years and really more than that, over time, we started to develop different software solutions to first support our consultants in the work that they were doing, and then over time, start to put those software products in the hands of our clients to make them more effective at the work that they were doing across the whole human capital space. And about 3 or 4 years ago, we took a step back and we looked at all of these different software products that had sprung up in our organization organically, and we said, wow, if we put these things together and we really focus on them and focus on creating some software as a service products, we could really help our clients in totally new ways. And that coincided with what we were seeing in the market, where clients were eagerly looking to take on more of the things that we used to do, take them on themselves using software to do it. And so those two trends converged, what we were seeing in the market and what had sprung up organically. And we really started to focus on the software side of our business. And it's now one of the fastest growing parts of the business across all of Willis Towers Watson. So it's something we're really quite proud of.
That's kind of great. You actually took process and let it drive the technology, not the other way around.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think one thing that impressed me so much is that you didn't just build the software for one client, which I think can easily happen for a consulting firm. You take your big client, you build software that's just specific for their needs. This is really software that's valuable for companies and across all industries and a lot of different company sizes too. I think you address a lot of different challenges. So I know it's not easy to do, but it certainly shows the work that you've put in there.
Well, thank you. I will confess we learned that lesson the hard way. So there were some years going back where we did build some one-off products for our clients. But what we found was that we could really be much more effective in helping them and just be more efficient if we created more productized offerings. There was a big transition in our company where the word product itself, when I started back in 12 years ago, was almost a dirty word. Like we were a consulting firm. We didn't want to create products. It's too one size fits all. But what we realized was that we can create great products that are configurable, that provide a tailored experience to our client. And when we wrap our consulting around them, the experience is completely tailored. But we can do so in a much more efficient way than we did in the past when we were focused exclusively on one-off solutions.
An amazing parallel from client engagement to employee engagement, right? You know, there's tools we can use to get part of the way there and then be able to tailor it, right, to develop that employee experience.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah.
One thing we've been talking a lot about, Molly, and I know you saw a lot of this at Unleash too, is that we saw the talent management suite sort of take off 10 years ago. And this was everything everyone was talking about, this integrated talent management suite. And it seems like it's getting replaced now by an engagement suite, something that companies actually want to use, employees are excited about, to have things like pulse surveys, rewards and recognition, to be able to think about wellness as a replacement for the talent management suite. Is that something that you hear too, Chris, from a lot of your customers and clients?
Yeah, so we're hearing a lot about it, not as much from our customers and clients, but in terms of broader trends in the industry and the analyst community. And we're seeing a lot of activity. I mean, the most obvious is the recent announcement, I think, between Virgin, Pulse, and Redbrick, where there's a lot of consolidation in the space. And a lot of people are branding their solutions as engagement solutions, software that if employees use them, they will become more engaged. So we're definitely seeing some trends out there in the market. Our clients typically are much more focused at this point on broader strategic issues and organizational issues. What do individual managers need to do? What does the organization's HR function need to do? What do leaders need to do to engage their people? And so a lot of our solutions are focused on providing insights to those leaders and to HR and to individual managers to set them up to be successful in driving engagement in the organization. But we do think that there's potential for solutions out there that enable employees to quote unquote engage themselves or to engage each other through recognition solutions or well-being solutions, things that are some foundational elements of engagement. Our view is just broader than that. It's not only about recognition, it's not only about physical wellness, but about all kinds of things like people's opportunity for career development or their sense of the performance management system or their belief in the vision and strategy of the company. And a lot of those things are organizationally driven or manager driven or leader driven.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sort of some of the trends we're seeing as well, and I'd be curious to your opinion, Chris or Adam or Tara as well. But we sort of see two big trends that I think are coming together are this idea of the whole person wellness, right? We were talking about that helps people be engaged because they show up ready and able to work, and this organizational need to have people aligned, have their work aligned with organizational goals. It sounds like you're kind of sitting in the center of all of that to say, how do we get people to show up ready to work and also create the conditions where they can be really successful. Would that be sort of a fair characterization of how you think about what engagement is? Because obviously there's a lot of definitions out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, why don't you take this one and talk a little bit about our sustainable engagement approach?
Sure. I mean, thanks, Chris. I think that in some ways we're using now the broader concept of employee experience, mm-hmm. which is probably a more accurate way of describing what our software is intended to do. And I think, in some ways, engagement, the term engagement has suffered from overuse just to be, sort of meaningless. Anything that touches an employee now can be positioned as an employee engagement, solution. But what our clients are really trying to do is understand the employee experience and measure the employee experience in a systematic, valid way. And our software really helps them to do that. Now it's changed over time a lot, and it's a really exciting time to be in the field, because up until just a few years ago, and for the prior three or four decades, the majority of this work was done through an annual employee survey. And that was pretty much, the state of the art and nearly universal, for many, many years. And it wasn't until, over the last 5 years or so that clients started saying, well, the technology has evolved enough, and certainly our interest in understanding employees has evolved enough, where we want to get more regular kind of input. We want to understand the employee experience on a more ongoing and continuous basis. And so that's been the major shift for us, is developing software that allows clients to do that, whether they want to understand the employee experience and gather feedback from employees every quarter or every month, sometimes even more often than that. But I think there's diminishing returns at some point. But we're finding that certainly somewhere between two and four or five times a year is where most companies, want to try to settle on to develop what we call an employee listening strategy. Which is essentially a series of surveys, larger and more focused pulse surveys, deployed, at the right time to capture the employee experience, so that they can, improve the experience, improve employee engagement, and improve business performance ultimately.
I love that term, listening strategy.
Yeah, so that's something that's come up recently to kind of, label, what's been happening, and it takes a variety of different forms. But I would say most commonly today, there's sort of a growing prevalence of some kind of surveying done, or some kind of listening done more generically, when employees join a company, so onboarding, mm-hmm. to make sure that process is smooth and accelerated. And then some process at the back end when employees leave, to try to understand what might have provoked that departure and learn from it. And then, one or more time points in between, to try to just understand the employee experience and how it can be improved. Some of that maybe based on different milestones, or just, on a time basis, as I said, quarterly or even monthly.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the flexibility too, because I can imagine things like at the beginning or end of a project might be the right cadence for some companies, given the type of work, or sometimes it might be calendar driven. But I think that being able to respond to the needs and ebbs and flows of those particular businesses is really appealing as well.
Yeah, and that's something that's changed, a lot for us too. Just beginning of last year, we released our sort of the DIY module, if you will, of our platform. Up until then, the ability to design and deploy a survey was a collaborative one between us and our clients, but ultimately we, Willis Towers Watson, sort of did the final setup and would pull the trigger. Beginning early last year, we created a DIY module, which essentially allows our clients to have access to our database of all of our questions and our benchmarks, and the ability to set up and deploy surveys on their own. And to purchase that ability on a licensing basis. That was new for us. And after, decades of working in a more traditional way. And it's really taken off. So we have now over 100 clients who are licensing the software to design and deploy surveys, as needed. As you say, before a project, oftentimes around a big initiative, M&A, restructuring, new product launch. In addition to just more of a general health check, sort of cultural assessment, or interest in measuring, more traditional kind of what you call employee engagement, all of the above and more, we now have more and more clients doing on their own. We're still working with clients, a majority of our clients, we still work with in the sort of traditional way, where it's more and more collaborative. But what's sort of emerging as a common model is that is done in combination with the Pulse software licensing approach. So we'll work with a client to design and deploy a large scale annual survey. And then in between those big events, the client will use the software to sort of target different groups and to deploy more focused surveys as needed.
Yeah, the Pulse surveys are so interesting to me because I think when, you know, we first started talking about Pulse surveys, I didn't know what companies would think. I thought, you know, it'd take so much to do this annual survey or to do it around specific product or project launches. Would companies really implement Pulse surveys as a best practice? And it's taken off. Probably not just with the clients you see, but we see it quite a bit in the market as a combination, you know, to do this with the annual surveys as a way to really get a sense of employee morale, what we're thinking in terms of productivity, in terms of retention. So they're really an effective tool.
Yeah, we've tried to make it, you know, as easy as possible for clients using the platform. So, you know, we have all kinds of templates that can be pulled sort of off the shelf, ready to go surveys. And we've created a very intuitive design interface so that there's very little effort. And sometimes, in some ways you can argue it's too easy because, you know, the sort of barrier now to collect data is very low. And so mm-hmm. now it becomes a question of, you know, not can we, but should we, right? When is the right time? Because you can survey too frequently, we believe. And so there's, you know, but the judgment is more around, you know, logistics isn't a barrier. It's more around, you know, what do we want to ask when, and what are we prepared to do about it? And that's some of the kind of wraparound consulting that Chris mentioned that you know, we bring to our clients, and we find that they're definitely hungry for.
I think you raised such a good point about sort of should we be asking and should we gather all this information, because it's so easy to over dataize, you know, get too much feedback. And if you're not willing to act on feedback, it starts to become its own engagement issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I imagine the change management happens not in actually implementing the Pulse surveys, but what to do with the information once you gather all this data.
Yeah, absolutely. And our role has changed over time in the value that we provide. You know, years ago, it was more around how to stand up a survey, how to deploy it in a large organization where you have multiple languages and you know, thousands of reports and all kinds of different issues. Now, given that the technology is able to handle much of that complexity, it's more around, as you say, how frequently should we be surveying employees? What should we be asking them? And then how do we act on the information in a way that'll have an impact? And we certainly help some clients to, realize that, you know, in some cases they already have information. They know what to do, but they, you know, the barriers to try to get it done, to try to address the issues they know about rather than to collect more information, which is sometimes easier in a way because it feels like you're doing something. But it's important to balance that obviously with real interventions to address the insights that you found.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, making sure to encourage that follow through, because you're absolutely right. We're investigating the problem seems like a really good use of time until you realize that, all the investigating is preventing the solving.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So you certainly had a busy year with, thinking about all these areas of engagement. What's going on for next year? What do you have planned for the rest of this year in terms of product development and customer outreach?
Yeah, well, we're getting a lot of great feedback on the what we call the Pulse software tool, the DIY tool that I mentioned. And, you know, we have a long list of things we want to do to continue to improve that capability and it really to make it easier for clients, ever easier for clients to deploy surveys, but then also to support the sort of reporting of the results in a way that identifies the insights, because the last thing, you know, our clients want to be doing is sort of drowning in data. So trying to build in as much as we can around, you know, what the priorities are from the results, automating some of the analytics that are involved so that, you know, clients can readily see what their key issues are and target where they are inside the organization to help them take action. So a big part of what we're focused on now is exactly that process, essentially making the results analysis, if you will, as intuitive and impactful as possible. Doing the same for designing an employee survey is what you know we need to do sort of on the back end in analyzing and taking action.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Adam, I think you're also being modest in that the software, reporting software that we have right now already does a fair amount of that in terms of using an algorithm to identify some key issues and recommended actions for managers to follow up on. And I think what we're looking to do is take that even further and add additional layers of insight that automatically pop for leaders and managers as they go through and review the results.
Yeah, and you raised such a good point. You know, we've been looking a lot at managers, and we're going to be doing some more research on them in the near future here. But, you know, managers have such a critical role, and I think we're starting to realize the need for great managerial skills because they're that translation point between, strategy and execution, and they have so much on their plate that the more we can offer them in terms of actionable insight and advice on how to do it, I think the hungrier, they're really hungry for that right now.
And for so long, they had no reason. They had nothing. They had no tools, not the right capabilities, not the right training to do all of that. So it's exciting to see tools specific for managers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we designed the dashboard of our reporting technology to essentially, you know, be focused on the manager with the least amount of time, assuming that he or she, you know, had a million things to do. And this was, you know, the last item on a very long list. So when you log in, the dashboard, as Chris was indicating, it immediately identifies three priority areas from the survey based on comparisons to external benchmarks and trends over time, impact on KPIs, and not only provides those, sort of serves up those priorities to managers, but also provides action suggestions, what the manager might be able to do to address them, and then provides a way to track those actions over time. So that's been extremely popular with our clients because it's all about, you know, helping the manager take action. As you say, that's where you get the real value from the survey. And we want to just continue that process ever more so to make it even more sophisticated and easier because that, more than anything else, that's, you know, when an employee survey process doesn't get full value, that's where it breaks down, is the ability to get the key insights and take action.
Yeah, and some of our research we've asked, you know, what happens when managers get the research? And one of the answers runs something along the lines of sigh with relief that it's over for this round. And that's sort of the last thing we want to have happen is we want them not to think of it as something they have to get through, but really as a tool, you know, to manage their business.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Another thing that managers like that we've put a lot of time and effort into is processing an analysis of the open-ended feedback that you get from a survey. And there's always a lot of attention paid to the quantitative data, which is great because there's all kinds of cool charting you can do and sophisticated analytics. But there's nothing like a real comment, you know, from an employee who actually takes the time to write down what they think. And so we spent a lot of time developing some really great tools to help managers analyze that information, essentially automating the identification of key themes, being able to integrate those themes with the quantitative data, and to do that in multiple languages. So that's where I think the sort of very state-of-the-art is right now, is getting full value from that sort of, you know, that natural language, if you will, and being able to do increasingly sophisticated kinds of analytics with it. Because, you know, multiple choice questions definitely play a valuable role. I don't think they're ever going to go away. But you know, more and more so, clients want to understand employees sort of as they naturally experience the work environment. A lot of that is from these open-ended comments that we get.
So I know that fall travel season is right around the corner, even though we just started summer. You'll be at HR Tech. Where else can people find out more or connect with you during the busy fall time?
Yep. So we at HR Tech, we just had our conference for our clients a couple of weeks ago. It's an annual conference, and we'll be posting some materials from that on our website for those of our clients who weren't able to attend. We have a colleague, I think, as we speak, who is at SHRM right now. So if anybody listening is at SHRM, though I think when this is going to get broadcast, SHRM will probably be over. But we're constantly out and about and really, really active blogging on our website as well. So there are plenty of ways to get in touch with us.
And we can put that contact information in the show notes. So if anybody out there wants to get in touch, we'll make that as easy as we can.
That would be great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This is a topic that's certainly near and dear to our hearts. So it's exciting to talk to people that are just as passionate about it. So thank you all for joining.
Sure. Well, pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the latest episode of Research on the Rocks. You can find us at aptitudesearchpartners.com. Follow us on Twitter, talk to ARP. And that's it for now. We'll talk to you the next time. Take care, everyone.